Hey Cole, do you hear that?
I do indeed.
It sounds like the dinner bell. Welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. This is issue 66, titled "Hey Comics, What's for Supper?" It's
The
gonna
sad thing is,
be.
I'm casting about here in the studio, and I cannot find anything bell-like.
Oh man, I was hoping. I actually was actually literally hoping.
Yeah, but apparently there are no Star Wars bells that I've ever purchased.
So Cole and I are going out on a limb tonight. Every once in a while, we like to really challenge ourselves. And by challenge ourselves, I mean there's no research that can possibly be done on this topic. I have tried and failed miserably to find research. We have a special guest joining us later in the show, hopefully to save our non-proverbial bacon tonight, our literal bacon. Tonight's
We're going
issue.
to need all the bacon we can get because bacon makes everything better.
That's right. Tonight's issue is about food. Food that comic book characters eat, food that comic book characters don't eat, but we think they should eat, restaurants, drinks, the idea of food in comics. That's what tonight's going to be about. And I'll
It's
be a.
certainly because the thing about comics, as we often talk about here, the ones that are the best are the ones that bring in the little bits of minutia.
Right. And you get to see that. There's a simple rule in comics, and we've discussed rule number one. Rule number one is almost as pre or rule number two is almost as prevalent as rule number one. Rule number one is you never see a comic book character go to the bathroom. We've discussed this on the show. Maybe once.
Yeah, I think they got away with it once in West Coast Avengers or something like
Right,
that.
or Avengers Spotlight, whatever it was. And two, you rarely see comic book characters actually eating anything. There are a few exceptions to that rule, but as a general rule, comic book characters, you don't see them sitting down for a meal all that often. Tonight we're going to discuss that. I don't even know where to begin this
Yeah, this is
topic.
a tenuous sort of thing.
Okay, I know where to begin. I know where to
Oh, okay.
begin. I was thinking about it earlier.
I think you should begin at the beginning of the chow line.
I think so. And in the beginning of the Chow line is, for me, is Spider-Man. And the reason
Oh.
I say that is because I'm not really going to talk about a particular type of food. I just want to talk about a situation that Spider-Man finds himself in quite frequently. And that situation is this. He comes home and Aunt May's there, and Aunt May's cooking, let's say, dinner. Because she's always cooking something. She's always
Well,
baking or
yeah,
cooking.
she's of that generation that there's always something and more than you expected. You see one pot on the stove and there and when you're seated, seven courses appear out of the thin air.
That's right. Here's my thing about that situation that comes up quite frequently in Spider-Man, and I can remember it on at least three separate occasions, right? She's always inviting to dinner some one of the virtual plethora of Spider-Man's arch nemesis to have dinner with him. Have you ever noticed that?
Well, the frightening thing is that how many of Spider-Man's arch nemeses are of Aunt May's age?
Well, it's not even that. It's like, I ran into this nice young man at the grocery store. He helped me carry out my bags. I'd like to introduce you to the Sandman. And he's standing there dressed as the Sandman. What is going
Well, it's
on?
the only shirt he has, or the only shirt he can make, sand.
Yeah, it's the silicone in the sand is it's finite in the amount of
There's only so
clothes.
much painted desert sand you can bring to the top.
That's true. That's true.
And most of it's green.
Sandman's really the New Mexico bottle of colored sand that you buy at the rest stop. That's really what it is. But I can remember, oh, I'm making lasagna and Venom's here. It's like, what are you doing? Like, that makes me think, honestly, does she know that at the time that Peter Parker's Spider-Man and she's just being passive aggressive at this point? Like, is
It
that
may be a way to drive him out of it.
right.
Because if you don't stop this, I'm going to put myself in harm's way repeatedly by inviting known supervillains to dinner.
Right, and she has a TV. She has to see the news.
Maybe she's like one of these elderly people who just likes watching the true crime programs on cable.
Right. I
And
think.
none of them have caught up with the supervillains yet. They're still just talking about dead debutantes.
Oh, I almost got away with it. Or she's one of those supervillain groupies, and we just don't know it.
That's true. She could be. She could be, masky or something.
Masky. She's a cape hag.
She's a cape hag.
She's a cape hag. Callback joke. Cape hag.
That's right.
I remember stuff sometimes. Every once in a while, I'll remember stuff. So Cole and I got on this topic because we were discussing what we couldn't do. We were really deconstructing ourselves and said, is there a show that we possibly could not fill an hour with just about comic books or about whatever? And this was one of the ones that we came up with. So we're going to give it the old college try here and see if we can't fill an hour.
The frightening thing is, at the time, I honestly believed that enough stuff was going to float to the surface that I could get by. And also, if you're wondering, hey, well, what happened to Chris Fulton? What's going on? We wound up, due to scheduling conflicts, we bumped Chris, and we thought, let's get this out of the way.
Let's take this for a spin. Let's really test ourselves. So there are a few comic book characters that I can think of that are known for their eating, and we can begin from the beginning with this. It's just something we don't usually do. We usually jump right into Marvel and DC and Vertigo and Dark Horse and IDW and whatever, Image and whatever. Image eats shit often. So take that, Rick Gutierrez.
Rick. You'll enjoy that when you're on the show. You got here.
Right. We got you again, Rick. Got you right in the sternum. There's a few characters out there that have been around for a long time, and it seems like at a particular time, food was a source of, at least if not power, motivation for characters in comic strips as well as comic books later. The biggest one that comes to mind is Popeye.
Oh, certainly, yeah. Talk about food being the source,
right?
And that From spinach doth all his power flow.
It does.
I think the earliest Popeye strip. It really was, they're trying to be very philosophical, and abandoned that in favor of fisticuffs.
It was developed in 1771.
Our founding fathers actually came up with and would later table the idea of Popeye the Sailor Man.
If you look close at the Constitution...
There's a lot of influence.
It doesn't say the signature's on the back. It doesn't say Popeye, but right above John Adams' signature, I think John Adams is on the Constitution. I might be high. I know I'm high because I'm on a lot of painkillers right now. But I think it says toot toot. But I'm not sure. I'm gonna have to go back. I'm gonna have to call Nick Cage and get him to bring me a copy of the Declaration of Independence so I can check it out under the Ben Franklin bifocals and see if
that's right.
that hidden gem is in there.
I think it was in the first draft, and they kind of asked him, quick, come outside. It's Popeye.
Come outside. It's Popeye. Popeye's here.
Yeah. So he didn't get to finish. He didn't get to add his toot toot to the...
There's another comic strip. We'll loosely use the term hero that finds food as his Achilles tendon, if you will, his Achilles heel, and that would be Wimpy.
That's true. There's a lot of eating going on, and a lot of eating disorders in the Popeye verse.
It really was a Trieste on possible eating disorders.
Yeah, because I'm not really sure. You did see Bluto or Brutus, depending on which iteration, occasionally dining at roughhouses.
Right.
So you had to imagine that burgers were a portion of his diet, but not a staple like Wimpy, who probably wouldn't have been as wimpy if he ate something else.
Well, I mean, you get to the point where Wimpy would essentially blow a dude for a hamburger. It was...
Yeah, I forgot. That was about the time they stopped carrying that as a daily.
That was about 1875.
That's right.
It was an underground comic. Wimpy blew a dude for a hamburger.
Yeah. That days when every panel was hand-etched on metal plates.
It was rough.
Yeah, the most the early Popeye strips were produced as elephant folios that only the filthy rich owned. And at your rich people party, then of course you would have everyone retire to the parlor where you would show off the latest print of Popeye comic strips.
Right, right. This show,
there's
11 minutes in, 11 minutes in, and it took a turn. That's
right.
That's our quickest turn yet. That's our quickest turn. So there's a lot of...
I'm nothing if not didactic, and I do want to help inform and educate our audience whenever possible. So that a considerable degree of what I educate with is completely apocryphal is beside the point.
Exactly. So, who makes a better salad, Man-Thing or Swamp-Thing?
Swamp-Thing, any day of the week. Mainly because Man-Thing's constituent parts over the years have tended to be 99.8% indigestible mosses and loams.
It's true. Fungi and tubers.
Yeah, he gets the occasional flower. Swamp Thing, on the other hand, apparently is capable at will, as he would later discover, of pretty much excreting anything the plant kingdom has to offer. And as, you know, one of the greatest kingdoms known to man, he's got the command of a lot of stuff there. So if you're, you know, you're hosting a summer garden party and you would like an assortment of honeydew, cantaloupe, watermelon, and other, you know, melony delights. He can certainly produce those, or perhaps some spring greens if you're heading more into a salad.
He would be one hell of a contestant on Chopped. Like
he really would, as long as you were doing like vegan Chopped.
Right. Well, I imagine you open it and you've got your protein in there, right? And,
yeah.
you think to yourself, I could really use some kale to go with this lamb dish that I'm making.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are like coming in and ignoring the pantry, and they're like, behind, and they're actually just back there harvesting.
Maybe he is the thing that's in the back of Chopped. He's just hanging out back there.
You see this big green hand come out, and then there's some kale.
And then there's just kale.
On demand.
Kale everywhere.
That's where they're getting the fiddlehead ferns. You know, you don't find those at Costco.
No, you do not. You were telling me earlier about a particular character that's fond of a certain type of sandwich. I don't know if you'd like to go into that or not.
Well, yeah, certainly since we did spend five good issues recently talking about heroes.
Yes, yes, we did.
Superhero comics. There is a character who... is rarely seen without a hero sandwich.
Oh.
And that, of course, is none other than the ever-loving blue-eyed thing, Ben Grimm himself, because it's important as a test pilot, an astronaut, carb load.
Right.
But, you know, if you look around, you can find art all over the place. And I think nearly every artist who's ever done the thing, from Jack Kirby forward, eventually draws a portrait of the thing holding the entire Subway, the giant sandwich that Subway delivered for the office party. And he just scoops that up like, oh, well,
right.
I guess we'll all have Ruffles and brownies. Thank you.
Love the cookie plate, you asshole. Yeah, where does he find sandwiches that big? Like, well, you know, unless it is at a Subway.
Well, he's in New York, you know, so there's probably a lot of places that the rest of humanity doesn't get to enjoy. New York's kind of cornered the market on wholesome foods. You can go to the opposite coast if you want grains and kales and edible loams. But, you know, in New York, you can pretty much get anything put on a giant sandwich, especially if you're a superhero.
What else would you get on a sandwich? I'm just trying to think of, like, you could get Man-Thing on a sandwich.
Yeah.
I
that didn't really work out quite like you planned, though.
No.
Because then all of a sudden it's like that scene in Bachelor Party.
I keep getting this.
Which actually was Man-Thing on a sandwich.
I keep getting...
Now people are going to rush out and rant or Netflix. Master, what is he talking about?
What is he talking about?
Oh, and then some. Yeah, okay. All right,
I'm adding our special guest to the call. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome leader of the USG and
scarcely without a hero sandwich at hand.
That's right. Calling in one Rick Gutierrez as we speak.
But we're not going to lose sight of this whole sandwich thing.
No, Cole's not letting go of this sandwich.
There's an important observation. Speaking of not letting go, the three things, the most common three things, this is like one of those, what's that site where they do all the lists?
Listverse? I don't remember what it's called.
Okay.
Fract or BuzzFeed?
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, this is actually from a BuzzFeed list. The three things most commonly seen being held by Ben Grimm, the thing from The Incredible Hulk. Those three things are a hero sandwich, a cigar, or Dr. Doom.
That's nice. That's nice. I feel like I'm doing, what's the Johnny, what's the Johnny Carson sketch?
Oh, yes. It's like, now I can't even.
Karnak.
Karnak, thank you.
Karnak.
Yeah, I feel like I'm doing Karnak right now. Rick, how you doing, man?
I'm trick-or-treating and tired as all crap, but I'm good.
Good, you're here. So we're 15 minutes or 20 minutes into an hour-long discussion about absolutely nothing. So
I would say, put down the candy, but this is a discussion about food in so much as food in comics.
Right? Well, then let me make like Deadpool and pick me up some chimichangas.
Oh, here we go.
We go straight to
chimichangas.
Well, because as you pointed out, they don't eat shit in Image. The only place else Rick has to go is the Deadpool.
Yeah, I already said that. Let me give you a brief rundown of what we already covered.
Yes,
Image
please.
Eats shit, and Wimpy would blow a dude for a hamburger. Those are the two things that have been discussed so far tonight. Everything else is totally free reign.
Okay, I mean, on the topic of Wimpy, yeah, the guy's got a burger fetish like a crackhead has a crack addiction. Okay, I mean, seriously,
like a crackhead likes to shop at Bed Bath and Beyond. Yeah, I don't know what that means, but that's the... are there any restaurants out there that you can think of that would that really stand out to you as, comic book restaurants, like from comic books? I know there's one that jumps into my mind immediately. And that's
what do you mean? Like something like that a comic book character would go to, or?
Well, just in general, you know what I mean? Like in a comic book, if you're reading a comic book, are there any restaurants in comic books?
Not so much comic books, but definitely that, the restaurant where the gang from the Tick hang out.
Oh
yeah, that Edward Hopper style diner there. Yes, very good point. In fact, I was going to bring the Tick into this and didn't even think about that diner aspect.
Yeah. I mean, that's a definite thing. Also, the restaurant that has the room for sidekicks.
Oh, yeah, there's the bar with the restaurant
There you go.
Yeah, very good point. In fact, I was going to bring in the Tick because when he was introduced, Paul the Samurai, when traveling from Japan to the U.S., to the city in pursuit of his enemy, had to bake his katana into a loaf of French bread.
Oh, really?
Which then he consumed that along with cheese puffs and, as he put it, machine urine, which was the coffee from one of those old coffee vending machines like in Terminator 2.
Right.
Oh, look, I got a full house. Oh, look, and here's my fortune cookie said I'd get a metal spike to the eye. Crazy stuff, man. Remember, if your fortune cookie says you're going to get a metal spike through the eye, just call in sick for the rest of the day. It's time to go home.
It's time to go home.
Yeah, Pescadero can take care of itself.
I was thinking of Warriors from D.C., the restaurant run by Guy Gardner.
Oh, yes. We've mentioned that before on the show.
Right.
Yeah.
For a second there, I thought, no, Warriors is a movie about gang warfare.
I would never get the two confused.
Yeah.
I was going to say, do you need me to like bring up my bottles and start clinking them together here?
I mean, that's right. But
well, I would say that Warriors the Restaurant, their slogan should be come out and play.
Right. Warriors the Restaurant. Isaac Hayes is nowhere around here. don't worry about it. Nobody's going to call you a sucker in this restaurant. It was featured, and I don't think it was the same restaurant in Kingdom Come. I don't think it was the same restaurant. We can talk about that restaurant, but Warriors was featured pretty heavily in the late 90s and early 2000s before Guy Gardner got, you know, when he lost his ring and didn't have his weird morphic weapon powers. He ran a restaurant, a superhero-themed restaurant that actually catered to superheroes on occasion. They would show up like, hey, guy, what's going on? Like, isn't that like Stallone coming back to Planet Hollywood?
I think so. And in fact, since we've invoked Planet Hollywood in answer to your question, in Kingdom Come, it was Planet Krypton.
It was
the name of the restaurant. With a really, I mean, you have to imagine that Superman was a little bemused by the fact that the Planet Krypton logo was essentially an exploding green planet.
Right. That,
it's like, thank you.
Yeah, Planet Krypton was the one from Kingdom Come.
That has to hurt.
Yeah.
But I think that was the whole idea, because everything about that restaurant was set up to hurt people.
It was just the whole thing.
It literally was set up to hurt super people. You order a cup of coffee like Bruce did, it comes in a Green Lantern mug.
Yeah.
It's shaped like the, you know, lantern battery.
Yeah, much like Marvel Mania, the short-lived Marvel Mania restaurant in Universal, that was meant to hurt people's wallet there.
That was a different kind of hurt.
That's a different kind of hurt right there.
I like to think that when a Batman orders a cup of coffee, every fourth one has a pearl in the bottom.
I like to think when Guy Gardner orders a cup of coffee, or in fact any beverage, there's a worm at the bottom of everything.
There's a worm, just a worm down there. There's your dignity at the bottom of that cup. You just got to keep looking for it.
Rick, we're going to go back, as much as it pains me to do so, to Deadpool. Am I correct in assuming he has some association with the ownership of, use of, or frequency in patronizing a taco truck?
I don't recall. I mean, I know about his obsession with chimichangas, and that's pretty much all I know about Deadpool. Yeah.
Deadpool loves the Mexican food.
Okay.
And also, for you students of history, it's important not to confuse chimichanga with chickamauga.
Or Lake Titicaca.
That's right. One has historical significance to the American Civil War. The other is a delicious Mexican dish.
I've been waiting 66 episodes now to work Lake Titicaca into an episode, so thank you.
I know. You had a couple of false starts there, too.
Thank you. I would just get the word titty out, and then somebody would stop me, and then I would seem like just a total perv. Not that I don't now, but I still...
Now, if you go back to the back issue bit and you listen to the old episodes, you'll understand the constant titty references.
Just constant titty references. I want to do this game.
Uh-huh.
Where would comic book characters eat?
Oh.
Let's say I'm just going to throw one out there. Iron Man's a bad choice because any place with a liquor license will do.
Yeah, I think back when it was around, and it's amazing that like if Tony Stark were real, it probably would have stayed afloat with steak and ale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in its name, it's implicit the best of both worlds. If you happen to be hungry, then that's a plus.
I don't know. I kind of imagine Iron Man being a Denny's kind of guy.
Well, there's that. That was, you start at steak and ale. And then when you start getting that mean hungry again about 4 a.m, if you can get within 17 blocks, if you can land within the vicinity, then Jarvis will lead you the rest of the way to the Denny's, the GPS.
He's got one of those maps like he does in Iron Man 3, one of those crazy computer topographical maps of all the Denny's.
Oh, yeah. In addition to that, it's sort of like having a Garmin or something, but it draws a squiggly line. So it estimates that, you know, 7 blocks away, he'll be there in an hour.
Who else you got? Come on, give me some obscure references.
I think, you know, Black Bolt would go to Joe's Crab Shack. because his world is all about silence, and he wants to literally go somewhere where they just don't shut the fuck up.
Ever. Ever.
Plus, as a, you know, part Cree, he has a fondness for earthly seafoods.
That's true. See, I was thinking he might go to, like, an Ed DeBevick's, because there's no way, unless he gets super pissed, that he can argue with the waitstaff.
Or I would even say Dick's Last Resort.
Yeah, any place like that. he's gonna end up at Coyote Ugly's.
Oh, I can see Lobo going to Coyote Ugly.
Lobo and singing on the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And subsequently smashing it into a million pieces.
There you go. There you go.
What about Hercules? Or Heracles.
I'm
going
to go back to Denny's on that one. And I really don't know why.
There is a subset of superheroes who frequents Denny's fairly regularly.
I just see Hercules. Probably because Denny's generally, if you've ever eaten at one any time of day, they don't give a damn. So you can show up in your body harness.
And there's three other dudes there wearing the same thing.
Exactly.
They're just not Hercules.
Like, hey, Leonidas, why don't you... You want smoking or non-smoking?
That's right. You and your 300 dudes, where you want to sit. Is separate checks? Separate checks?
What do you think? Captain America, I think he belongs at Applebee's.
Cap would probably go, yeah, he'd be an Applebee's kind of guy. He might even also be...
he's a Red Robin kind of guy.
He's a Red Robin kind of guy.
I would go more for Red Robin because they're not going to cook anything in whiskey.
He looks like a guy who would enjoy a nice bowl of chili.
Can I tell you, the more I think about Captain America, and we have discussed Captain America fairly in depth in the past like 10 issues. I was thinking about that. We've really become sort of Captain America centric.
He gets a lot of mileage.
He does. Here's my thing about Cap. Like, after we discussed Cap in Love coming back and going to, you know, Sharon Carter's place, or whichever one it was, I forget what his girlfriend in World War II's name was, and finding out she was old and married, and all he wanted was her, and he's still young, and he can't have her, that whole thing. How awful is it to be unthawed and not be able to get any of your favorite comfort food, like, in the fashion it was? Like, you know what I want? A tall glass of Ovaltine. Well, shit. Like, how...
It's also like, you go to a restaurant, and you cannot buy, in most cases, if you go to a proper sit-down restaurant where the waitress comes out and takes your order, you cannot buy chicken on the bone anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's true.
You cannot have them. I would like to order a chicken dinner, and they bring you out a pieces of chicken, like a leg and a breast, that you have to, like, literally consume your way around the bones. Those days are gone. It's all about the boneless.
Right. He has spent... Mm-hmm. He, you know how you even in the movies or in the comics, you see Captain America walking around New York City forlorn, you know, like just looking at buildings, mm-hmm. and his leather jacket and his leather bomber jacket or whatever he's wearing. He's looking for a good chicken fried steak. That's all he wants. That's the look of a man. Well,
and they don't have a Black Eyed Pea or a Cotton Patch in New York City.
He got really excited when he heard that the Black Eyed Peas were coming out.
Exactly. Heard that was just a concert.
It's just a woman that's going to pee on herself and a vaguely Native American dude. That's all.
Yeah, and the other thing is, the Cap, imagine how terrible an adjustment it is for him to go somewhere and have the salad bar foisted on him.
Oh, God, I hadn't even thought about that.
You thought Red Foreman was upset in that 70s show.
I hadn't even thought about that. Like, anything, all the processed food.
Yeah.
You know, anything like that. He had to be stopped up for weeks when he came back. Like, it just had to be such a change.
Yeah, I think, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. had to come up with some laxatives or something for him. Some really, like, super heavy-duty, unstable molecule laxatives.
So, do you think that Batman eats differently than Bruce Wayne?
Absolutely.
I think so.
Do you think
Bruce Wayne is oysters and, you know, those big prawns, like prawn cocktail.
Right.
And Bruce Wayne is like, you know, he'll have Alfred whip him up one of those, you know, protein shake made with bananas and kale.
Yeah. Like, and we're back to Kale. He just keeps Swamp Thing on retainer.
That's right. Your Louisiana Kale has arrived, sir.
Your Louisiana Kale. It's just a knock on the door, and it's Swamp Thing standing there.
That's right. Just walks in, sheds about 14 pounds of kale in the walk-in and leaves.
Because what I'm wondering is if, like, because Batman's pretty hardcore.
Yeah. Right?
Do you think Batman just, like, gets down on some, like, Taco Bell at night? It's 3 in the morning. He shows up in the Batmobile, gets lowered down from the Batwing. And orders a number 6 and a Mexican pizza. It's just hanging in the drive-thru window.
Yeah, and meanwhile, like, you know, the Joker comes up and his Joker will be like, son of a bitch.
It's like mild sauce.
I just wanted a smutty burrito. For God's sake, where isn't this man?
Caramel apple empanada. I'm just going to sit here and do Taco Bell, the menu from Taco Bell in Batman voice, and make myself laugh for... I want to reimagine...
We're going to throw out a challenge to all of our listeners. Go to your favorite fast food place, be it Taco Bell, Kentucky Fried Chicken, what have you, and order at the drive-thru as Batman.
Record yourself.
Yeah, and if you can, record yourself, because we would love to hear it. You know, I want to say, like, you know...
I want the Colonel's crispy chicken strips.
Or get somebody to hide in the back seat, dressed as Batman, order your meal, go to McDonald's, order your meal as normal, and then when you drive up to the window, have him pop up and say, I want a McRib. I want a McRib.
That's like going to Starbucks and then then when they ask you your name, you say Primrose Everdeen. And then when they call out Primrose Everdeen, you shout out, I offer myself as tribute. I mean, come on.
Oh, come on. Spartacus.
Or Spartacus. There you go.
I've got a half calf soy latte mocha for Spartacus. I'm Spartacus.
Next thing you know, everybody in the restaurant's Spartacus, and then coffee to somebody.
Indeed,
that would be brilliant. I want to see that done, but I just have this mental image in my head of Batman lowering himself down from the Batwing and ordering it at Taco Bell. Like during the day, you know, it's 5-star restaurants, Moet, you know, hanging out with Jay-Z, whatever. At night, I mean, the man's got to eat, right?
Yeah, he goes to Spago by day, and then
exactly.
You know, Alfred takes him over to the Brown Derby, and then that evening he's there at Taco Bell chowing down on their new, what is that, high-end menu.
Lowers himself down. No, not even that. Come on. He just lowers himself upside down into the window and says, fourth meal. That's what I want to see.
Fourth meal. Yeah, goes over to Taco Bueno and gets one of those Mountain Dew freeze things.
Right.
That'll jack you up for a night of beating up Killer Croc.
Or I think that, no, that's more of a Green Arrow thing. Who's going to eat at White Castle? I think Green Arrow is going to eat at White Castle.
I think Green Arrow appreciates the efficiency of the White Castle hamburger. And as recommended, he brings home a bag full.
He's got to take home a sack. I can see him taking up like in the same hand he's firing off arrows with. He just has a slider in that hand, just taking a chunk out every time he brings it up to his face to fire an arrow.
Yeah, I would also say not only Green Arrow but also Green Lantern as well, because you know they're buddies, so they'll probably go for some White Castle together.
Oh,
they probably would go kind of hang out there. And
Green Lantern's a total bro, dude. Like, yeah. I don't even know where he would eat. Anywhere, that's true. Yeah, anywhere that isn't Oa.
Yeah.
Or has kale. He's not going to Batman's house for dinner. He is not going to Batman's house for dinner. Punisher. A lot of beef jerky.
I'm thinking like meat and potatoes here. We're talking old fashioned. He's going to go to Outback Steakhouse, piss stew off. He's going to get whatever the biggest chunk of meat, like the Sydney Opera House.
Oh, that's awesome. Sydney Opera House. What does Luke Cage eat? And I don't want you to get racist, Rick. I know how you are.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to say anything. I would say...
Rick was going to say go to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffle.
Right, he was.
No, no, no. He probably wouldn't turn
I
down...
I would. I would go to Roscoe's.
He would have turned down some good soul food, though, I think. He seems like a down-home kind of guy.
See Luke Cage and Daredevil.
Oh, yeah.
Going to Roscoe's.
I think so. I think so. Iron Fist won't go because he's one of those vegan assholes. Doctor Strange.
He's over at Kale Kingdom across the street.
Him and Strange are over there at Swamp Thing's Kale Taint, just eating right off of it. Gross.
Yeah, it's the all-you-can-eat me.
So, Rick, give us the definition of shawarma again.
Shawarma is basically beef cooked in au jus.
It doesn't have a lot of gristle?
It does have quite a bit of gristle, yeah.
Why would you do that?
To get rid of the gristle to unsuspecting foreigners.
Right, like foreigners, like Asgardian foreigners.
That's right. But the thing is, most of the Asgardian meats are gristle heavy.
Yeah. I mean,
so I think Thor dug it the most.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, if you see in the Avengers, I mean, Thor's going for the big ass bite toward the end of that shot. You know,
I mean, he's like looking over Cap. Are you going to finish that?
Why do you have to do that after every sentence?
Cap's over there just lamenting the fact you can't buy a freaking piece of chicken in this town.
Yeah.
Not only that, but Cap dug it second best.
I can see Thor, you know, drinking a coffee, smashing it on the ground, demanding another, while munching on shawarma, you know?
I don't know. I think Tony Stark might have a problem with that. I don't know. I think somebody needs a dietitian on staff. Because I don't think that when you have a shard of shrapnel in your chest, in and around the heart area, and you need a giant fancy electromagnet to keep it from killing you, you probably should watch your cholesterol a little more than what he does.
Well, that, and you shouldn't adopt the Waco kid diet.
Right?
You know? Man, drink like that, and he don't eat. He is going to die.
Like what? What's Tony Stark's favorite meal? Scotch.
Yeah,
all the
liquid
time.
Lunch. I mean, come on, guys. And I'm not talking about Ensure.
Do you know who I really feel sorry for? British superheroes.
Well, like Captain Britain. I mean, yeah, I can see that.
He's a bangers and mash kind of guy.
There's a lot. It's a sausage heavy diet that they have up
shepherd
there.
Shepherd pie. Yeah, there's a lot of. Yeah. Of ground meats in their diet.
How Nightcrawler and Kitty Pryde were able to survive living up there is beyond me, you know?
Well, he probably knew some nice German places, you know, get a nice Sauerbraten or...
They would go
again,
to Latvia.
With the German, you're getting a lot more sausages.
Speaking of a sausage party, you head over to Latvia, hang out with Doom for a while. You're surrounded not only by sausage but robot sausage as well.
You point out the old Doom bots, the ones with the sausage grinder on top of their head.
Yeah,
I think they were literally designed not only to protect Doom but also to produce an unlimited supply of sausage for the population.
But I mean, that has to be like, I think Doom above everybody else in any comic book. And I'm thinking really hard about this.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be, like, he probably honestly has, all he has is like a loaf of bread, some peanut butter, and some Campbell's tomato soup. Because the man lives by himself in a giant castle with a bunch of robots.
That was a really sad appraisal. I see him more like throwing very lavish parties for the condemned.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, almost everyone who's a citizen of Latveria is eventually going to be a condemned criminal.
Rick, are you ready for this? I'm going to ask Cole a question, and we're going to have to deal with this crap for the next five minutes.
Go for it.
So what does Shang-Chi eat?
Kale.
Kale.
Lots of, seafood and rice.
Right. Okay. Like, I think it's him and Danny...
Kind of a simple peasant diet, while the rest of the MI6 guys eat bangers and mash, I guess.
Yeah, I God, Shang-Chi.
No. If you wanted to go for 5 minutes, you ask him the obvious question. What does the night owl eat for dinner?
Oh, obviously, he eats at Gunga Diner.
Oh, well
or
played,
at
sir.
The place where you can get the four-legged chickens. And it's a good thing you mentioned it, because that is an example that we've sort of dodged around a lot of actual foodstuffs in actual comics. There's a goodly bit of eating going on.
Yeah.
Well, in Watchmen, from uncooked canned beans, a staple of the poor, and to the fine dining, the spaghetti Afrikaan, is which apparently is what Laurie had for dinner, according to her putting it on the government tab.
Oh my God!
Here we go.
Here we are, and we're here, ladies and gentlemen. Course they we have found your, the sweet spot.
Their delicious Indian, and I might point out, chicken on the bone at Dunkin' Diner.
You also had another really good example, Cole, earlier when we were discussing this, of the best representation of food that you've seen in a comic book.
Speaking of just good old-fashioned comfort fare, there when you see like the hero sandwich that the thing is eating, or like somebody eating a hamburger and they may be seen taking a bite out of it, and you get that cartoony little half circle there, and everything's just so pristinely lined up and everything. One of those things, you know, you can't reproduce that in life unless you're Jaws from the James Bond movies or something. Where you eat with a letterpress or something, you know, where you're a cookie cutter. But there was, when Barry Windsor Smith was the artist on X-Men, or one of the various X titles of its day, I think it was one of the main X-Men titles, because, you know, he's no slouch. There was a scene where, I don't know, like Bishop and Storm and somebody, I don't remember, it's been ages ago, and it wasn't really something that made an impact on me, other than apparently the portrayal of the hamburger somebody was eating, like shown from their eye's view. And so you had this hamburger and french fries, which are the most accurately rendered hamburger and fries at a sit-down restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're over at Chili's having a burger. And where, you know, normally if you see a hamburger and fries portrayed in a comic, it is very simplistic. It's got the cookie cutter bite out of it. The french fries are all perfectly sized rectangles.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like all irregular. And the bite out of the bite or two out of the hamburger had that kind of squished around the edges and irregularity, that imperfection of reality. And I was like, damn, you know, this is like the real thing going on here. And oddly enough, whatever else happened in that comic is immaterial.
Because he buried the lead with the hamburger.
I was lost in that one panel, and I couldn't even tell you who the diners were anymore. And probably there was a fight with the juggernaut or something. I hope someone will write in and tell us.
But, do you think that Ghost Rider sends a lot of stuff back overdone?
I think he sends a lot of stuff back either underdone or just puts it in, rubs it on his head.
Well, I'm thinking, if you're Ghost Rider and you go to eat a steak, you're immediately going to have an overdone steak.
Now, wait a minute, though. Okay, Ghost Rider in his spectral form, or Ghost Rider as Johnny Blaze?
No, Ghost Rider as Johnny Blaze doesn't count. Like, you're Ghost Rider. You're Ghost Rider, and you're sitting at a table. You know how the Fantastic Four at one point was the Hulk?
I mean, throwing a lit match in Johnny Blaze's hair, he's not going to be in a Ghost Rider state.
Right. So
normal.
So you got Wolverine, you've got the Hulk, you've got Ghost Rider, and who was the fourth of the Fantastic Four when they had to replace him?
Spider-Man,
all sitting at some diner somewhere, and he orders the shoe leather, and he gets it, and he just keeps sending it back over and over again, and he can't figure it out. And eventually he makes the cook look into his eyes and be judged with his penitent stare.
Well, ultimately what they do is just send out a raw steak.
Well, if they're smart enough to figure it out.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, if he can cut through that, once he gets it in his mouth, it is pristine. It has been...
If I had a nickel. Poor Foggy Nelson.
I know.
What about... Okay, so guess
going
what?
Going back real quick to...
go ahead. Go right ahead.
To actual foodstuffs and comics, I think we're missing a couple. There's a couple of just really prominent players in this realm, and we would be terribly remiss not to mention them.
Okay.
Certainly talking about having a food addiction that is wimpy level.
Yes, do it. And I was waiting on this.
And probably not the best for your metabolism if you happen to be of the reptilian persuasion.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which normally kales are highly recommended.
Right.
Over pepperoni pizzas. I'm talking about, of course, those heroes on the half shell.
Turtle power.
Oh, yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, whose addiction ever. For pizza. I mean, whoever owned the local Domino's franchise is like now owns his neighborhood.
Well, and here's the thing about that, right? You've got you really have to. It really is an addiction. It has to be an addiction because you're willing to give up A, your secret location, and B, the fact that you're giant effing turtles that can talk for pizza every night.
That's true. You've really got to trust your pizzeria at that point.
Yeah, they've got to be on some serious take.
Well, now keep in mind, okay? They do establish in the first movie that they use an address, but then they walk several miles back through the sewers to get to their lair.
And that's not an addiction. So you're willing to...
I'd walk a mile for a camel.
So you not only are addicted to, you're willing to order a pizza. I mean, tell me what other restaurants are within several miles that they could pop out of a manhole and get. Like, first of all, they're paying a pizza guy to leave a pizza in a dark alley. Like,
true.
Like some sort of super creep.
Yeah, you're not going to get the guy from Steak Out to do that for you.
Are you telling me nobody's ever caught him? I realize that the word ninja is in the title of the comic book, okay? I get
to
that.
My knowledge, no.
So
to my knowledge, no.
But while ninja is in the title of the comic book, so's the word turtle. All right? that's not where I thought you were going, but that was good. I thought you were going to go with a certain member of the Legion of Superheroes.
Oh, you know, that particular member had come to mind, and then that slipped by me. But yes, that's somebody we would really be
remiss. Yeah.
Yes, that would be none other than the irrepressible expatriate of Bismuth. Matter Eater Lad.
Okay.
Yes, Matter Eater Lad, or as I used to call him, I always used to call him Matter Eater Lad.
Matter Eater Lad.
And Steve, who's been on the show before, would correct me quite vehemently. It's Matter Eater Lad.
It's
not
Matter
Eater Lad.
I like. I do like the sing-song version better. So yeah. Sorry, Steve. I know
it actually sounds like something from a. It's like a Broadway musical, Matter Eater Lad.
I know it's your birthday.
It's not a good musical, but
just you're gonna have to deal with that fact that as a show, we have decided that it's going to be Matter Eater Lad from now on. That's just what it is. Consider that a late birthday present. I had another one too.
Well, you meant
and for those of you who are really like stuck in the late 80s, early 90s, when Matter Eater Lad was also simply known as Tenzel Kim.
Yeah, right.
Apparently, in common with everyone else on his entire planet, old Tens here could pack away pretty much any form of matter and probably certain forms of gaseous substances. And
So why does he have a planet left, if that's the case?
That's probably why they took to the stars.
That's probably true. Rick, what were you
saying?
And
also, speaking of taking to the stars, there was a Sun Eater.
There was.
Creature that the Legion had to fight. I think they defeated the Sun Eater by having Matter Eater Lad eat the Sun Eater.
That's awesome.
I can't get into the whole thing, Matter Eater Lad. So
fans of that comic, please don't write in and try to kill me.
Okay. Rick, what's going on?
Well, you mentioned when you pitched this this episode to me earlier tonight, you mentioned RoboCop.
Why not? You want to talk about RoboCop?
Why the hell not?
What does RoboCop eat?
Baby food.
That's true. RoboCop eats baby food.
Actually, technically, it is a high-protein vitamin substance, which tastes like baby food.
Or it's hummus.
Oh, it could be.
But no, they show him later on in the movie eating baby food.
But that's after he's gone rogue, right?
That's after
And he can't get the
closest corollary she can find is that mashed beans and Frank stuff. Yeah. No wonder it shot most of it up.
Right.
No, thank you. I'm not hungry.
So good. I'm glad we got to talk about RoboCop tonight.
He was actually starving, but he didn't want apricot cocktail.
All right. Well, I want to, one last thing I want to talk about.
And you know what? You know what? You know what? She did buy those for a dollar.
Wow.
I'm just saying. What I did there.
Red Foreman is rolling in his movie grave right now.
Two Red Foreman references in one episode.
This has been a heck of an episode. This has been one heck. This is up there with Super Sports Balls, guys.
It really is.
This is solid, you guys. This is some this is some real talk right here. I got one more I want to talk about. We've somehow made it to the 54 minute mark.
Oh wow!
I know. There's one other character I want to talk about, and then we'll close it up, and that's the Flash. Because if there's one character...
Oh, yes. I was going to bring the Flash up earlier, too.
If there's one character they actually show in the DC Universe eating regularly, it's the Flash. And for obvious reasons. He has a high metabolism, you know. But it's really easy to get the Flash to do anything when you can bribe him with food. That's my statement on that.
That's probably why Batman needed the Mexican pizza.
Probably.
He wanted to get Flash to do something. He knows he's silly for the damn things. So.
Barry, what do you want? Mexican pizza? Mexican pizza.
That's all you ever get. Try something different for a change.
You're so predictable.
They have a wide selection.
They have a vast selection of shitty Mexican food. You should try a chalupa.
Guacamole.
I think I'll just get the fish.
It's sublime.
We would like.
Oh, there's a good food reference for me.
There you go.
Comic-based movie.
Yeah.
Is poor Dwayne there who couldn't go anywhere expect to eat fish.
Which movie?
From Superman 2.
Oh, yes. Okay.
They have a wide selection, Dwayne.
Steve would have yelled at you if you hadn't mentioned that one. Okay,
I know. I can't believe it. I can't eat beans. I'm out a rash if I eat beans.
You also forget in Superman 2, there's the whole hot dog thing.
To mention... I believe also in Superman 2, but I may be mistaken. It may be from one of the others. Fresh squeezed orange juice.
That is from part 2.
Part 2 was very food heavy.
Yes, a bit of a foodie.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Let's close this up. Thank you, Rick.
Well, before we go, we have to pay tribute to the king of comic dining. You. I mean, we talk a lot on the show about superhero comics, but there's one, you know, there are other genres of comics, and this character is the king. Shut up.
What? I'm giving you some blanket.
And he wears a crown to prove it.
Speaking
of none other than Forsyth Pendleton Jones III, Jughead. He is the scrawnier version of John Belushi in Animal House. I mean, he even named his pet after one of his favorite foodstuffs.
Did he name it Boobo?
Very close. It was hot dog.
It was hot dog?
Hot dog. Or as I like to say, hot dog.
Hot dog.
Hot dog. We have to do the Matter Eater Lad sing song now. This has been Hey Kids Comics.
This has been. Oh, I can't believe we did it. Rick, thank you for coming on and helping us to save our non-proverbial foodstuff bacon tonight.
My pleasure.
It's good. It's always good to have you on, even if it's for the moment, because we're scared.
No, that's fine, dude. That's fine. I kind of needed this.
Yeah. baby food jokes, straight baby food jokes.
Yeah.
All night long. So what did we learn tonight? Let's see.
Matter Eater Lad. That's
yes,
what I want.
That if you have if you have a single takeaway from this and it's not wimpy, it should be Cole. Cole, give us another one.
Oh wow!
Give us one last good Matter Eater Lad to leave on.
Oh okay, yes. If you don't fall back on wimpy, then you should facilitate the dining on anything the world has to offer, including the world itself. The miniature Galactus himself, Matter Eater Lad.
Rick, why don't you do plugs, man?
All right. You can find me and Cole and Andrew, actually, also over at UnitedStatesOfGeekdom.com. We're on Facebook under United We Geek. We're on Twitter under Join the USG. Our email address is UnitedWeGeek@Yahoo.com. You can also, Andy and I have a soon-to-be relatively ongoing series. We just put out our first episode, which is our series called Watch It.
What did we do on the first one? I can't even remember.
First one was was basically a test run where we talked about Big Trouble in Little China.
That's right. That's
and
right.
It was really well received. So we were like,
well, you can't not well receive
Big
Trouble in Little China.
I mean, how many movies other than the much, much, much later released Dungeons and Dragons do you get to see a Beholder in?
That's true.
True.
And what's sad is the Beholder in Big Trouble in Little China released, 20 years before the Dungeons and Dragons movie? Looks better than the one in the Dungeons and Dragons movie.
Yeah,
And what's even sadder is I know there's a Beholder in that movie and I've never seen it.
That tells you something right there.
Yeah. Yeah. But we just put out one about Cabin in the Woods, and we have one coming up about the incredible action film Hannah.
Yeah, that one's going to be solid. It's a great movie.
Is that a movie about Jack Hanna from...
No,
but it is a movie called Hannah starring Eric Bana.
Yes.
So expect that
Bana's
joke.
And Hannah?
Bana's and Bananas! Just expect a lot of a lot of that. All right, cool. Give him the side jam.
Yeah, I gotta give some love to the side jam as well. So, yeah, and I was going to call it the side project, but you keep...
Wait, this is a show about food. You got to say side jam.
All right, fine. You can check out my Disney side jam, Rediscovering the Magic. That's on Facebook under Rediscovering the Magic with Rick and Friends. It's rediscoveringthemagic.blogspot.com. We're on Twitter under Phantasmacast, and we are about... But by the time this drops, we will have put out our latest episode, which is about Disney's Gargoyles.
Whoa, Black Betty, Phantasmacast. Isn't that how that goes?
And also, look for Rick's side jelly until he gets it cleared up.
Indeed. So
Werther's Originals. It's Smucker's Remembers. All right, Cole. Cole, plug away.
Well, of course, you're listening to us courtesy of the Jedi Cole Universe, where you can find Hey Kids Comics, the longest-running podcast on the entire network. by a colossal degree. You can also find the occasional movie review show with Mrs. Jedi Cole and the unmountable Bobby Blakey. What'd you think? You can now find the new Star Wars-themed podcast, which will be up to at least 2 episodes by the time this airs. Possibly 3. I think we'll actually be between 2 and 3 when this goes live. And that is, of course, the Rantcore Pit, recently relaunched as a Hey Kids Comics ripoff.
Under new management.
Star Wars theme style. But when you're a producer, you can do whatever the hell you want.
That's right.
With myself and Eddie Medina.
That's right.
We will soon be having some more episodes of shows like Who Do You Love and Jedi Cole's Open Mic Night, as well as a number of other really cool podcasting treats coming your way, because we just can't get enough damn podcasts out there.
That's right.
And
Super
of course,
Geek Out, Super Geek Out, Super Geek Out. Yes, no. I'm guessing not.
We're trying to get Super Geek Out running again.
It's almost
as well
that
as
time.
Half-Ass Roundtable.
It is
and of course, every Sunday, brand new comics with JCU Sunday Funnies. Every now and again, you get to find some. You get to find out what would comic book villains do. There's a new one coming very soon. When Nature Calls. And
with any
number of other feature articles, more Marvel musings. What would? Sorry, did that one?
Well, and it needs to be noted that the official artist for the Jedi Cold Universe is the hummus slathered Bobby Blakey. We already used Unmountable, so we had to move to the second descriptor on the list.
Needless to say, chock-a-block full of stuff, and like Alcon, I'm in most of it.
Yes.
So, with that being said, I can't believe we did this. We pulled it off. You guys are great. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed doing it. So, thank you, Rick, for being here. And thank you, Cole, for always being my second pair of footsteps in the sand on this show.
I will always be your secondary boobo.
Oh, will you? I think that my next band is going to be called Ulysses and the Secondary Boobo. So, guys, get out there. I mean, you know what? Screw that. Bye. Enjoy and consume a $10 hamburger this week and some comic books. You guys are amazing. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with a show of undetermined origin. I'm sure we'll pull something out of our ass, much like Wimpy
actually
has to
next
pull something
week
out of his mouth to get a hamburger in there.
Next week we'll actually be returning. We'll be arcing again.
Oh my God, I gotta rest.
Yeah, we're really gonna need to.
Is this the Seven Deadly Sins arc?
This is another big one.
Oh man,
this is your fault.
They're all my fault. I have the best intentions. I have
another
the best
big
intentions.
Arc. The Seven Deadlies.
Yeah, here we go.
Where we will explore the seven deadly sins, in some cases two at a time, because we're only going to do five of these.
Because we can't take the rest.
That's right.
All right. We'll see you next week with the first in an arc on the seven deadly sins. Say goodnight, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Matter eater, lad.